we're going to begin this afternoon, I think, with some concepts that might be challenging for you. I'm looking forward to it myself on the subject of spiritual journey. You're getting some handouts there. Why don't we just all open our May books right now to that section. You should have that's a precious sound. I'll tell you, I just love that sound. You should have a handout now. It looks something like this. And spiritual journey. Spiritual journey. What does it mean to be on journey with God? We're going to do kind of audio-visual this afternoon with this presentation in hopes that we can make it very, very clear what we're talking about. In my own ministry, I get this question most often. What is it that God wants me to do? What is God's will for my life? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is God trying to say to me? How can I be sure that God is leading me? How can I be sure I'm listening to Him rather than to Satan? And how can I tune my ears to listen to Him? How can I do this? What is God's will for my life? And this section of the Spiritual Daybook, or you might say this aspect of the Christian life, is designed to help you answer those questions. And I believe that the foundation for it is scriptural. We'll try to share a little bit about that. And as much as that, I believe that it's also very practical and down to earth. I hope you'll find it to be simple. I don't promise you that it'll be easy. I do hope it'll be simple for you. If we can all leave this afternoon having confronted our inner being in the wisdom of God and at least find out where we are today, we would accomplish much. And then if we could be realistic about what it looks like behind and if something of what God may be leading to in the future, we would be blessed indeed. And I pray that God will allow us to have that privilege this afternoon as we walk along the spiritual journey. I was in a conference recently, and a man was used of God, I believe, to describe something of where he was, sort of an interim report, and he used an illustration that I'm going to borrow from him. He used an illustration of a new section of highway opened in Illinois, where it was just ribbons of highway stretching out as far as you could see, some uphill, downhill, and round corners, and consuming many miles. And along that journey were many different things. But more than anything else he was impressed with was that ribbon of highway, if you looked as far as he could see, kind of like a West Texas road, he just saw highway. But it stretched and extended itself in beyond the limit of his visibility. And in my mind, this is what he communicated. He communicated this kind of a concept with a ribbon of highway. And I want you to take a moment right now and just with pencil, I'd like you to draw something like that, just like that in your day book under spiritual journey. Because we're going to try to establish where you are today. I'm going to tell you where I think I am, and I want you to do the same thing. We're going to try to establish where you are today on your spiritual journey. If you'll just take a minute and draw that little map right there. And we'll use the day book to simply establish the fact that you were chosen. That God is with you. And that His way really is simple. And He promises that it's also easy and His burden is light. Those concepts. Now, I think a good person for us to look to, for example, is the journey of the Apostle Peter. You won't be in a conference very long with me until you find that I've learned much from him. And you know why. It's because I'm so much like him. I just like, you may relate to him or someone else in the Bible, but Peter, he sort of told my story. Okay, so let's see what we know about him, and this will help you establish perhaps some thought patterns that will aid in establishing where you are a little later. First of all, we know that Peter was called. called. He was chosen. The scripture references are here in the handout. We know that that he was a man that sought after God, just like you are, and I am. He sought after God, so much so that he was the first among the apostles and disciples to see that Jesus indeed was the Son of the living God. He was a man who was quick to make a pledge. He was a man of deep conviction and commitment, and he was quick to pledge his undying loyalty to the person of Jesus, saying that though these others may fall by the wayside, Lord, I'll be with you. So he pledged his undying loyalty, followed by denials, by misunderstanding the Mount of Transfiguration experience, trying to build tents to contain God. Have you ever tried to contain God? If I could, I think I'd go back to some times in the past when he's been very special to me, and I'd build a tent. Because let me tell you, I have had some beautiful, beautiful experience with the person of Jesus Christ. I really have. And I hope you have. And I'd like to go back there and build a tent. You know, I really would. And just savor that and carry it with me. That's one time, Lewis, where I'd like to have the tabernacle. I'd like to carry it with me in a tent. You know, I really would. But I can't do that. But Peter wanted to do that. He wanted to build some tents on that mount. Then we know that he went to sleep. And as we shared last night, went to sleep three times, as you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane. I had the pleasure of being there, and what a glorious experience to be in that garden last June, and to see those olive trees that were obviously could have been there when Jesus was there in that great hour of agony. So it gives a special meaning to me. And then we as we shared last night, that Peter only got excited about his walk with the Lord when he was challenged to feed my sheep. Now that's, to me, that's the beginning of discipleship. That's the beginning of real discipleship, but we get concerned about sharing that and feeding other sheep. Finally then, as you know, he was given the gift of evangelism and exercised it so eloquently and so productively. So that's something of where he was. Now, to make a point here, when he was called, you might establish Peter's journey somewhere along in here. That's the beginning. And you can follow along. In each one of these points, you know, you could put a dot on there that would establish each one of these. And somewhere along in here, you know, when he got the evangelism gift, when he received it, began to exercise it, and moving on through. And what I want you to think about is, how about you? How about Raz Robinson? Where is he? What is God doing in his life? Where is he along this particular trek? What I want us to think about for a little while is that the walk of faith is basically a walk of personal discipline. Spiritual journey means not much to you unless you've had a grasp of the first two bases or the first two principles. Unless you have an active prayer life, that is, coming to God as one of his children, sitting on his knee, and if you allow me to use this illustration, looking up into the Father's face and saying, Father, I love you, I praise you. Tell me what you want me to do today. Let me tell you about the problems I've got. Let me thank you for what you've been doing for me. That personal, intimate relationship with God the Father. And then, if it's going to mean anything to you in journey, you're going to have a good, inductive Bible study, personal Bible study program. And then journey begins to make sense to you. I shared with you last night that as I began to read first in Genesis and then Matthew and then the Psalms, God began to speak in a new way to me. It wasn't that I spent hours and hours reading my Bible, but I was reading for the purpose of God communicating with me. And he began to do so. And I was advised, as I shared with you, to take notes on this. And I did. And I treasure those notes very much today. Now, I want you to think in terms of a roadmap, and we'll continue to use this illustration, and I want you to locate yourself on your journey right now in your day book. But first, I want you to look at a few things with me. Locating your star. When you've located your star or your location, I want you to think in terms of three points of view. I want you to look at the rearward view. Where have you been? Where do you feel God has brought you from? up to this point, up until March 23rd. Secondly, what does it look like where you are right now? If you could think in terms of the lens on a camera, as you know, they help you focus in on the object that you're to photograph. And I'd like you to think in terms of focusing in right here, wherever you are. Let's say that you're right here. The now look is designed to get you to think about focusing in on where you think you are right now. Where you are. Focusing in. Now, only God can do that focusing. You can't be objective about it. I'm finding nowadays, as I get closer to the Lord, that I can trust myself less and less. Now, y'all have known that all the time for yourselves, but I haven't. I'm learning I just can't trust myself anymore. I can't be objective. I want too much too quick. And all other kinds of things. I have to let God do the focusing in on that picture that He wants me to take. So right here, focus in. That's the now look, where you are. And the rearward look is back where you've come from. And then the look ahead is forward. Now, can you imagine the trauma that was in Peter's heart and mind when he realized that in that encounter by the sea, after having a lakeside breakfast of fish served by the master himself, and finding out that as he ate breakfast with the master for the last time, and in that exchange of conversation, to find out that he had misunderstood the whole thing. He thought Jesus was just a nice person. He thought he was the Son of God, but he didn't know what he was here for. He didn't have the concept of loving him to the point of giving himself for him fully. And remember, this is the apostle that requested to be crucified upside down, right? So he got the message later. So there is some trauma sometimes in finding out where we are. But the important thing is what happened later. And I'm trying to hear this even as I share it with you. I can assure you of that. Okay, so where are you? Now, I want you to think of this as I said, a Texaco star. And I want you to locate your star for me right now. Just locate that star on your journey. Okay? I don't know if you can see all that. Can't. Okay. You got the map. Locate your star right now. And as you locate it, I'm going to be asking you some questions about it. The view behind, and I want you to describe that in a moment. Then, I want you to take a look at now, the now look. What's happening right now in your journey? What do you think is taking place in your life right now? And then the view ahead. And then what I think is so very, very important and is a new growth area for me is a question that I have a very difficult time facing. I don't like to even ask or much less attempt to answer the question. What do you need? You see, I like to be independent. I like to know all I need to know. I like to have all I need to have, and I like to be all I need to be. But the fact of the matter is that if you could think of your star as a Texaco star along the highway, when you pull into that service station, there's several things you need. You need gasoline, probably. You need to be refueled. That may be where you are. You may need some repairs. You may need some new direction. Or you may need correcting the direction you feel you've been going. Or you may need to simply affirm the direction that you're going. Okay, so what do you need? What do you need? Now I want you just to take a few minutes and think of the concept of journey. And journey only has three views, as best I can understand it. Where you've been, where you are, and where you're going. It's that simple. I didn't say it was easy, but I do think it's that simple. Now, if you located your star, take a minute and write down where you think you are. Now, I want to, you'll accept this in an attitude of prayer from me, but I would like the privilege of sharing with you the view behind for me. Okay, now you pray and get your pencil ready because I want you to write right now. Write down in your spiritual journey 3:23-76. Would you do that right now? And then the words, where I am on the journey. where I am on the journey. Leave yourself plenty of room now, because you're going to do a little writing here. Probably a whole page would help. I used half page. And write the word, the view behind. What does it look like back there for you? View behind. Just write the view behind. However that's spelled. The view behind. Now, right there, where you feel that you've come from at this point. I told you something back about 5 years ago that Beverly and I considered this in a retreat setting in Georgia, and we established that some things then. And I'm going to tell you now that I feel like that as far as what I started out to do in life, what I've written here is that all of my life goals that I established in the beginning have been reached. That may tell you something about my goals, but all of my life goals have been reached. Secondly, that God seems to be using me now, especially with laymen and with families. And when I say me, Jesse and I, because God has put us together in a special way. So God seems to be using me and us with laymen and families. Write something right now. What does it look like back there to you? Put something down. For me, also, the view behind includes struggling to be spiritual leader in my home. The view behind includes struggling to be spiritual leader in my home. Some of you might say struggling to have daily quiet time. That's where your journey has brought you thus far. Or it might be struggling with denominational structures, or I don't know what it is for you. But write something of how it looks behind where you are. And then a brand new thing for me is the lifestyle that God has called us out into now, living by faith as we serve Him. That's brand new for me, and we've just begun. And so that's what I see behind me, that beginning. Now, I want you to write the now look. The now look. The now look for me is that He is leading me to be spiritual leader in my home. Have been now for enough time that I'm feeling fairly confident about it. Not arrived by any stretch of the imagination, but for a good while now, I feel like I've been fairly responsive to Him in being spiritual leader in my home. How about you? Write something down where you feel you are today. Another thing that's happening right now is that I feel like I have the best relationship with my church that I've ever had in any church. And I don't teach and I don't deacon in this church. We don't have deacons yet. But I feel that the relationship with this church is better than any I've ever been in so far. That's important. That's very important to me. I love my church. Love my church. Got good relationships in my church, I believe, from my side. Third thing that's going on right now for me is I have second-generation disciples. Not a lot, but a beginning. I'm excited about that. In other words, the people I'm working with, in turn, are working with other people. And there's a rumor around that they may, in turn, be working with others. And that gets more exciting all the time. Now, how about you? What does it look like where you are right now? The now look for you. Be honest at this point, and we're going to ask you to share some of this in a minute. So, with your group, okay. The view ahead. Now, you don't have to share, but you're going to have opportunity to share. The view ahead. As you prayerfully look at the past, where God has brought you from, the faith look, and as you look at where you are today. And realizing it's difficult to be objective, what does that seem to suggest about the future? And what would, as you have been praying, what does God seem to be leading toward? So I'll give you some feeling of continuity here. view ahead. I'll share with you what it looks like from where I am right now for the going ahead. I believe that God is leading Jesse and I to do, leading me, I'll speak for me, area-wide conferences on discipleship. You know, I've talked about this, but I believe that's ahead in our picture. I believe God is confirming some things for us that seem to suggest that. So that, and you realize that that, it's terribly difficult to separate what I want to do emotionally and psychologically from what I believe God is leading me to do. But I can assure you that I spent many, many hours praying. And this is what I believe. I believe in the days ahead that my family will be involved in disciple making. That's exciting to me. You be writing now as I write, as I share with you. I believe my family will be involved personally in disciple making. One reason I can say that is that they already are. That's always a hint toward the future. Is what is God affirming in your life? What is He blessed? And don't tell me He's not blessed anything in your life, because you know He has, and I know He has. I believe that the view ahead is going to allow us to reach many people. And I'm not going to share the number. I don't know how important numbers are. With a journey in discipleship in this year. We prayed back in December, January, Jess, for a certain figure, 10,000, I believe, that we'd be for 10,000 people in 76. And I believe the tally is that we've already reached that this year, passed it already this year. So you see how big God is? We limit Him so much. And so, the view ahead. What does it look like for you? Just write something down right there. Now, the question that is a hard, hard question for me. It may not be for you. But what do you need? Write down, what do I need? What do I need? Would you do that? Following these one, two, three, put down, what do I need? Peter needed to understand who Jesus was. He understood it intellectually and somewhat spiritually, but it never had dawned on him. And of course, we believe, don't we, that together with that experience by that seashore, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit gave him the power. And that same confession and fullness of the Holy Spirit is available to you. So Peter, at that particular juncture in his journey, needed some power. He needed some understanding, some love, and he needed some power. And I believe he got all of that, we can tell from his life. Now, what do I need? What do you need? You ready? What do you need? Just to be honest, what do you need? What are some things you need? Well, reach what I believe God is has ahead in my life, in my particular journey. I'm going to need called, committed, and confident co-workers alongside ministers, very obviously. No man can go alone. I'm going to need affirmation of God, and I'm also going to need affirmation from my inner circle of co-disciples. Co-journeyman. That's important. Very important. Oh, if I could share with you what he's been teaching Jesse and I on that. It'd bless you, I believe. And then third, I am convicted that I need to begin believing God for all of His promises. I don't believe God. I'm convicted that I don't believe God. I really don't. I need to believe God. I need to have wisdom in His Word. And then, finally, I need to be sure before I go any further that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because I'm wasting my time and everybody else's if that isn't true. If the Spirit of the Lord is not upon me. Now, you write. What would you say about what you need? What do you need? And by the way, I've decided that I am indeed a committed Christian. Peter said that temptation is the devil's compliment to a committed Christian. I have been complimented. You wouldn't believe how complimented I have been. So I've decided that I am a committed Christian, because he does tempt me with all kinds of devices and ways and means. Okay, now I want you to, if you will, and as you feel that you can, I want us to break up into our groups and share these 4 points: the view behind, the now look, the view ahead, and what you need. And I'm going to time you today. I believe that when I say go, that you can be in your group in 1 minute. You know where it is. You know who your members are. And so, when I say go, let's see how fast we can get there. Go. Now, we've been able to look at the view behind, where you are now, and view ahead. And then some things that we need. Now, get your day books, open them to the spiritual journey section again, and I want you to make a second entry in there, dating it today's date. And I'm going to ask you to just use your imagination a little bit. And I want you to think in terms of your camera. You're looking through your camera now at today. Here you are in this conference. I want you to look through the lens of your camera. This is one of those single lens reflex cameras, which means you can see right through the lens and focus it and adjust your light all at the same time, right? Also, we have the facility in this particular camera we're going to look for adding the color of filtering that we want. But for a moment, I don't want you to touch the filter. I want you to let God touch the filter. I see one of you men has these glasses that get darker as there's more light. I wish I had those like today, but I can't wear them. So let God just focus it and add the color to it. Now I want you to describe, after you've written today's date, 3/23/73/76 in there, write down the color that you see. Write down the color that you see. What color is that image? Isn't that a strange question? But you know, color can tell you so many things. You know, if it's sort of purple, dark gray, you know, that's one thing. If it's a bright yellow, orange, and then maybe it's a bright blue, write down the color that you see. And why is it that color, do you think? No, that you see, that you're seeing through your lens at the now, today. What color are you seeing through your lens? You're looking at today in your life, in this very moment, not this morning and not some other time, but right now. What color do you see? You got it? You're not writing anything. You're still looking at me. I can tell you're not writing. The color and why. Then I want you to make one other entry, and you will have been, after this next exercise, you will now be an expert in what it means to be on a spiritual journey. You have made 3 entries. Here it comes. Y'all ready for this one? What do you think is the key insight from this conference so far about your journey? I'm going to reaffirm one I wrote on the 8th of March. Lord, I hear you call me back to your word, to spending 2 hours a day. I had my greatest comfort and joy, less anxiety and frustration and all those kinds of things. You know, it could be an hour and 45 minutes. Could be 2 hours and 2 minutes, but, you know, more time in His Word. Lord, I hear you calling me back to your Word. Now, that's what I hear. You may hear more quiet time. Write down, Lord, I, and what's He saying to you out of this conference? You will have made 3 entries on your journey. You're going to be well on the way. Tomorrow morning, you pick up your spiritual day book after you've read your Bible and prayed to say, okay, 3/24/76. Here's where I am. And I wrote the word benchmark right out here. That's the word I like to use. It's a benchmark or a milestone. That becomes a milestone for me. Spend more time. God has spoken. I've tried. I know what it means to have spent time. I'm away from that now and some other things. A little bit more. I see now that I need to get back to that. Good luck, Jesse. Okay, now we're ready for our fourth base. And in Acts 2:48, it says, "And the Lord adds to the number, day by day, those who are being saved." And Jesse is my kind of witness. Wherever he is, he's always witnessing, leading somebody to the Lord quietly, or talking to him about the Lord. I seldom hear him talk about much when he's around people except Jesus Christ. And I can assure you that in our conferences, in the back rooms, in the hallways, by the water fountain, in the restroom, anywhere he can find a person, he's usually talking with him about the Lord. We felt it very appropriate for him to come and share and take however much time he wants to, since I've taken most of his.
Praise the Lord, I tell you. Boys, conferences, one of the things it really takes discipline on is when a man takes 20 minutes of your time. I love you too, Dad. Would you see if they get one of these? I want you just... Yeah, it's your punishment. You're going to have to hand it out. Well, have you had any life-changing experiences yet? We're down to the green tab. All right, everybody, just click their books open here, and let's place that sharing sheet, witness and sharing sheet in. All right, while you're doing that, I'm going to have you out of here drinking your Coke at 3:30. So you just relax, okay? Have you been inspired to do anything differently? Well, I know I have. My wife was. She got up this morning at 6 o'clock with me and went and had her morning quiet time. And I'll dare say that most of you, or a good number of you, as a result of what Peter said last night, you tried something different probably this morning. You got up, maybe not at 4, but you got up. You know what he's recommending? Kill an average person. You got to be a pastor for 25 years before you can do what all he's talking about. But it takes all types of things. But I want to tell you, this quiet time that we're talking about is not optional. It is not optional. You do not have a choice. You've got to do it. Okay? You've got to do it. Your spiritual maturity will never rise any higher than the amount of daily devotional time you spend with God. Never will. If you want to get on journey and begin maturing in the Lord, you're going to have to do it in that daily devotional time with the Lord. You've got to do it. If you're a pastor here today and you're not doing that, that's one of your problems in the pulpit. If you want power in the pulpit, you're going to have to get on your knees before the Lord. That's where your inspiration and motivation is going to come from. That's going to be your power source. You're going to have to develop a quiet time. I tell you, if we don't get anything else across, I always wish we could make you feel extremely guilty that you're not having a quiet time. I wish we could. But I'll tell you, it's imperative. You've got to do it. Now, we suggest in the morning, if you can't do it in the morning, some people's metabolism just doesn't work in the morning. Brother Abbott was sharing with us that he can't do that. He's tried it and can't do it. But you need to establish a time, a daily quiet time. And let me tell you something. on home base, if you don't have this quiet time we're talking about, you can forget home base. Because I shared with you yesterday that for years I had a guilt complex that I wasn't witnessing like I should. I used every excuse in the world not to witness and not to share. And when I went out to witness and share, nothing happened. Not a thing happened. And you know why? I was empty when I went out there. I went religiously to Thursday night visitation, even though it was cold and rainy. And you know, it's an amazing thing on Thursday when we got ready to go to visitation, the devil always put something in the way. It was, I either had something I had to do or I didn't feel good. I usually got deathly ill about 5:30 every Thursday. I don't understand. I just get nauseated every Thursday. I knew what it was all about. It's because I didn't want to go. I would find every religious reason I could not to go visit. And when I'd knock on the door, I'd just hope and pray they wouldn't be home so I could count that. You ever did that? You ever gone out and knocked on the door and hope nobody'd be there? I'll tell you, it's a joy in your Christian witness when you get to the point when you knock on the door and you beat it down because you know they're in there. And you won't in. You've driven all the way over there. You want to get in. Well, home base. The only way that you'll ever have an effective witness life is to have the power source which comes from your daily devotional life. I tell you, if you're going out and witnessing and you're not in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're wasting your time. Let me tell you, I shared with you a little bit yesterday about my friend and I as we tried to learn how to visit. I'll never forget that evening that we went out. It was cold and raining, and we got to that place, drove up, and he wouldn't get out. He said, I'm not getting out. He said, I'm just not going to get out. He said, I'm going to back out on you. I'm sorry. So we sat there and argued in the car whether or not we should get out. And I didn't too much want to get out myself. Now let me tell you what. This is grown men that are actively involved in denominational work. Can you believe that? Well, we were laymen. But we got out. That was the first major step, is we got out. And as a result of that, let me tell you just what happened. As a result of that first visit, God allowed myself and that man to lead 27 people to the Lord during the next year. 27 people to the Lord during the next year. Rare as occasion, my wife will vouch for this, did I not come home on Thursday evening and say, praise the Lord, wake her up. I never got in before 10 o'clock hardly. And just come home, just sharing what God had done. It was rare. I didn't want to go home. I stayed out there till I got somebody. You know, we just keep trying doors. But I'll tell you what was the difference is I got plugged in to the right power source. And I wanted to go because of prayer, not out of guilt, but out of love and out of concern and compassion and need and want to, I went. And I learned to, I used to hate to witness on an airplane. I'd do everything in the world. I'd wait, you know, get on the airplane, and I'd sit as far back away from anybody. I'd try to select a seat where nobody was. I didn't want to be bothered. I was usually tired. And, you know, I'm a little frightened riding those airplanes anyway, you know. I always see those headlines. Every time we take off, I see those headlines, you know. Major crash, everybody killed. And I don't really like to witness too much. So I'll just take the opportunity to sit alone and relax and, but the Lord started speaking to me about that, and now when I get on an airplane, I kind of look for a prospect, you know, and there's a lot of them around. And it's amazing the amount of time when you got a man up there 30,000 feet, how much attention he'll pay to you when you start talking about religious things. But this matter of witnessing is very, very important. And I've found that my witnessing comes out of the super abounding, hilarious joy that you have in Christ Jesus. It's a natural overflow. Man, you can't stop it. You know, you get around a guy and he drives you crazy. You know, he's just checking everybody out. Just anybody comes along, they're a prospect just because they came by. I got to the point where that anybody, I didn't care who they were, I checked them out. I wanted to see where they were. Got their spiritual temperature. So very important. You got a sheet of paper there. I'll tell you, If I had you go back on your journey and place on your journey where you were in your witnessing, I wonder where you'd be. Go back to the journey that Raz just, I couldn't find it on here if I had to, but the journey that you wrote down in your notebook, where would you be on your journey? Using the beginning and the end. Where are you on your journey in witnessing? Most of you are at the want-to stage. I'd like to do it if I just knew how, had the opportunity, the time, and the inclination, you know. And but the guilt feelings for not witnessing pass quickly. They really do. And not a one of us sitting here this evening are doing what we need to be doing in the area of sharing the love of God with those around us. I want you to take a little test. And I'm going to check you here. So I want you to take it pretty quickly. It won't take you long. You put yes or no. Don't cheat now, okay? Nobody look on anybody else's paper. I want you to just take a spiritual checkup, read down through the 10 questions real quickly, and then we want to do something with that, okay? Number one, I have a daily quiet time of prayer and Bible reading, and I want to put a stipulation on that. A minimum of 30 minutes, 5 days, at least 5 days a week, okay? At least 5 days a week. A minimum of 30 minutes, at least 5 days a week. Yes, no. Yes, no. Number two, I take an active part in a weekly Bible study. I take an active part in a weekly Bible study. Yes, no. I am presently leading family devotion of prayer and Bible at least once per week. At least once per week. Yes, no. Number four, I can and do easily turn a conversation into a spiritual conversation to present God's plan of salvation. Yes or no? Number five, I have personally led a person to Christ in the past 60 days. I have personally led a person to Christ in the past 60 days. You know, we could put the last 6 years for many of us. Number six, I have a prayer time with at least three times a week, my wife, husband, or some other Christian. I have a prayer time with at least three times a week, my wife, husband, or some other Christian. I have personally followed up consistently on at least one Christian in the past 6 months. Number eight, I am consistently memorizing Bible verses. I am consistently memorizing Bible verses. Number nine, I consistently engage in physical exercise. I consistently engage in physical exercise. Number ten, very important question, my priorities as a Christian are daily becoming more what they should be. Okay? Now I want you to bow your heads. I don't want to take a survey, but I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm not like Peter. He was kidding me last night about that. I want you to bow your heads. I want to ask some questions here. I'll share the information later. But I want you to just raise your hand as I go down through here quickly. I want to just get a tally. Number one, I have a daily quiet time of prayer and Bible reading, a minimum of 30 minutes. If you do that, hold your hand up. Thank you. All right, on number two, I take an active part in a weekly Bible study. All right, thank you. Number three, I'm presently leading family devotion of prayer and Bible at least once per week in my family. Thank you. I can and easily do turn a conversation into a spiritual conversation to present God's plan of salvation. I have personally led a person to Christ in the past 60 days. Thank you. I have a prayer time with at least three times a week my wife, husband, or some other Christian. Thank you. I have personally followed up consistently on at least one Christian in the past 6 months. I am consistently memorizing Bible verses. I consistently engage in physical exercise. I consistently engage in physical exercise. All right? My priorities as a Christian are daily becoming more what they should be. Thank you. All right, you can raise your head. I don't know how many people we have in here, but it's very revealing that two of the areas that are the least, only eight of you said out of this group that they had led a person to Christ in the past 60 days. And if we talk to you, we might find that's just a rare occasion, and we just happened to catch you on your 60 days. Only three held up their hands that they were consistently memorizing Bible verses out of the remnant. I think that's revealing that the two areas, one of which we're talking about here, and in the journey area, we're the weakest in. I tell you, we're talking about home base. If you look in your day books to the green tab, let's just talk just for a second about this, and then we're going to let you experience it. We're going to do something, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we want to let you have time to do this. We've talked about a balanced Christian. I'm going to draw you a balanced Christian. I'm not very good at drawing, but I want to draw you a balanced Christian and reflect what we've been talking about here. We've talked about first base being prayer. This is where we get the mind of Christ, where we begin to know Him personally in fellowship, in relationship. The spiritual food comes in this area. Physical food that we deal with right here in the middle portion, Bible study. This is the physical food of the spiritual world. We can let the legs stand for the journey that Raz just talked to us about, the walk of faith, the journey. And Peter talked to us last evening about fellowship, and he stressed the importance of fellowship in the church body. We can let one of the arms represent sharing, which is just sharing as you go with everyone. And a good, strong right arm can represent witnessing. That is one-to-one sharing. That is working in the area of leading the non-Christian to Christ. This represents a balanced Christian. Now, you just look at this little man, and you eliminate any one of these, and you've got a problem. He's not a whole person. If you eliminate fellowship, he limps along. If you eliminate journey, it's the same. You eliminate witnessing or sharing. It takes all of these parts to make a balanced Christian, to make an individual who is balanced in his daily life. So you can't just leave one of these off. It's so important that we learn to be balanced. Now, if I spent all of my time in the witnessing area, I would not be a balanced Christian. Now, some of us have that gift. And not you shouldn't worry about the fact that if you can't do this, some of you have a guilt complex in this area, but you may not be able to witness one-on-one. This may not be a gift area, but you can certainly share. But this creates a balanced Christian and a balanced Christian approach to life. If I can find one section here. Now look at your witnessing sheet just for a second here. And I want to talk with you about a bow tie concept here. If you can imagine that being a bow tie. If you look at your witnessing sheet, what you do here is you enter your name. On my sheet here, I have a man's name. And right in the upper left-hand corner. And I have checked this person is a Christian. But it says, list spiritual preparation for ministry to this person. That's right here. The first section of your ministry, unless you're on an airplane, and it isn't even takes a place here, let's just list that as A, is your depth ministry. That's where you get to know a person. You get to find out about him. It's hard to witness to an individual or even share until you position him, till you find out something about him. Just the other day, a friend of mine went with me to get a haircut. And while we were there getting a haircut, we found out a tremendous amount of information about the barber. We found out just about all we need to know about him. We're ready. And eventually, we're going to go back and we're going to talk to this man about Christ. We used the depth ministry portion. This is your preparation. Listen, you need to get prepared spiritually. You need to begin to pray for this person by name. If God puts a person on your heart, begin praying for him before you go witness to him. Let the Holy Spirit precede you. And you begin right here. You list spiritual preparation for the ministry to this person. If you have right now in your day book, if you have a person's name there, you ought to just go ahead and write it in. Just write it in right now. If you have a person that you would like to be witnessing to, just write his name in right there. And what kind of spiritual preparation is needed for this person? Well, I put here in mind prayer support. He needed prayer support. And I sent him some materials. He happens to be out of the city. And I sent him some materials to help him to begin his journey. So you need to begin to be concerned about that whole person. You see, I can go out here, and you have to be careful about this. I can go out here, and just by sharing the message of Jesus Christ, I can be effective. But I'll tell you, when we get them in the local church, we better be prepared to do something with them. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. You need to be prepared to do something with them. It's not fair not to. All right, the B part, after you have had preparation and you've spent time there, then is when you witness to them. Now, witnessing and sharing go hand in hand. If this person's a Christian, you share with him. You help, you position him on journey. And you begin to be friends with him or friendly to him. But you find out where they are. If they're a non-Christian, at this point is when you're going to witness to them. If they're a Christian, you're going to begin to help them on their journey. But it's at this point, only after you spend some time. Now, this deaf ministry may be a few minutes, or it may be a few years. It depends on the situation. Okay? Then the C part here is follow-up. Now, I want to spend some time on this. You know one of the major reasons why that our churches or some churches are not growing today? It's simply because God knows that if He puts some of His babies in that local congregation, they're going to just shrivel up. There is absolutely no follow-up program for a new babe in Christ. And God's not going to put any of His babies. He's not going to risk putting them there because you're not going to do anything with them. Now, if you want to have revival, you begin doing something with those that you have plus those that are new converts. The greatest cry that I find going out across the land today is, help me to grow and to know. And then after that, you can go. Listen, some of the most spiritually frustrated people today are laymen of the laity that's sitting in the pew, shriveling up and dying. They want ministry. They want something to do. They want to know how to grow. And they come to conferences like this, and they hear about it, and they go back to the local congregation, and nothing happens. That's a sin. That's a sin unto God, if that happens. You can't continually go to conferences. You've got to find a church body. God needs to raise up local congregations that can do something with the babies that He puts in there. Have you ever watched and just your heart has just bled for a new convert that has come into a local congregation and you know you've been there for years and you knew what's going to happen to him? Have you ever watched that happen? I have. I have with heartbreak. I have watched, and you know what the question is? You'll say, I wonder what ever happened to old so-and-so. You don't have any idea why he's not in church anymore. I wonder what ever happened to him. Well, I'll tell you what happened to him. The local church didn't help him to grow. Listen, getting a person into the kingdom of God is that first tiny baby step. And from that point on, it becomes a discipline of getting them on journey and letting them know where their place of responsibility is, how to discover and utilize the gift as they are on journey. Everybody's on journey, whether it's bad, good, or indifferent. Your own journey. Now, where you are on journey is a direct indication of your spiritual maturity point. You may be at frustration corner. A lot of you could hold up your hand if you're at frustration corner. Some of you at wit's end corner. Some of you don't even know where you are. You're just resting, abiding, abiding. Well, let me tell you, to get into that stream of life and begin to know the fruitfulness that God has for us, You've got to begin to grow. In this particular area right here, we fail in the local church. Now, let me tell you something. In my own ministry, my whole concept of working in the area of evangelism changed. Because one year I was in a church, not in this city, but it led the association, it led the state for 10 solid years in baptism. And a friend of mine and myself decided that we would just check the results of that activity, because I couldn't find those people. You know, I looked for them, and a lot of people that I had had the privilege of leading the Lord, I couldn't find them either. So we went back over the church rolls, and we did this methodically. We went back over the church rolls, and out of a church membership that had over 400 baptisms the preceding year, we found less than 10% that were even around. We couldn't even find them. We didn't know where they were. We made an effort, a concerted effort. We sent out questionnaires trying to find them. We wanted to be honest in this. We couldn't find them. I wonder how true that is of most congregations. You have a revival in your church. You have an evangelistic effort in your congregation. And 6 months later, you can't find the results of what happened. Just like Peter was saying Sunday night, you wait a year to see if it really was real. Listen, I don't blame it all on the new convert. I blame it on the local congregation. When that new babe comes in, we don't do anything with him but say, sit down. And he becomes a spectator. And you never learn by being a spectator. You only learn by being a participator. By participation, you learn. We're professional spectators. We come to church and we see our pastor and our choir do what God's called them to do, and they do it well. But we are spectators, and never the twain meet. Listen, when you get involved in God's work, it requires participation. And the participation leads to base four, witnessing and sharing. I tell you, I don't know. One of the reasons that I believe God called me to this particular aspect of the ministry is for this area of follow-up. That's what we're trying to do. Get some handles on things. Help some people find how to get on journey and walk. And one of the joys I've had for a number of years, I didn't know what to call it, but was to work with people in a Paul-Timothy relationship. And I have two now. One is in this room. And this is a great joy and delight of mine in the sharing aspect to take a Christian and to spend 2 hours a week with him. I challenge you. Most of you are mature Christians here, and I challenge you to find you somebody, and to begin working with them. Find you a new babe, and begin spending 2 hours a week with them. You'll grow, I guarantee you, you'll grow. You won't grow? A tremendous responsibility to begin to work with somebody and to share with them, because you might find out you don't know enough to share. You may need to be a Timothy and not a Paul. Follow up. Witnessing and sharing. Well, I'll tell you, I got 5 minutes. And I promise you I'd let you out here by 3:30. And this is close to me. It really is. This is close to my heartbeat. I tell you, we have so misused witnessing and sharing, and we've so misused this particular base. In our congregation, our visitation programs are a forest. We stand up, and on Thursday night, how many of you come into visitation on Thursday night? And I just feel terrible because I'm not coming. I know it. And I've stood up on occasions just told a flat lie. You ever done? No, you never done that, but I have. I didn't want everybody to see I wasn't coming. I knew I wasn't coming. But I stood up. And then when I didn't stand up, I felt terrible because everybody's looking at me, you know? Have you ever had that feeling? Our visitation programs are a forest. We are not channeling our people out into the surrounding area. We're not channeling them into homes with a way to do it. They don't know how to do it. I tell you, if you could go away from this conference this week saying, as God is my witness, I am going to begin witnessing and sharing. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to get into the journey, and I'm going to begin prayer, and Bible study, and I'm going to get on the walk of faith, and then I'm going to be a witness, and I'm going to share. I'll tell you, the greatest delight of your life will be when you do that. I stood out on the front lawn about a year and a half ago, and I talked to a man about receiving Christ. And I wished I had time to take you through just exactly what I talked to him about. But I took him through the plan of salvation. And I did the best job that I could. And when I got through, he said he was very interested, so I backed up and tried another way. You know, I've developed about 9 different approaches. You know, if that don't work, I try another. And then if that don't work, I'll say the one I just said backwards. You know, I don't stop with one, you know, and say, well, we're through. You know, we've gone through the little 4 laws of the booklets, and I'm through. I don't stop there. I back up and start all over and try another way. There's a lot of different approaches. Just learn them all. Just one of them will work. So I stood out there that spring day, and I tried every direction in the world with this man, and he wouldn't budge. And he was lost, and he admitted it. And I'll never forget looking into that man's eyes. And he said, Jesse, I'll tell you what. If I could do what you're talking about, I'd give you $10,000 right now. I went back over the plan of salvation with him. I did everything I could, but the man was so gospel hardened, he'd heard it all, I couldn't get through. My partner and I got in the car, drove down the road, and got just a few blocks down the road, and I told him, I said, pull over the car. And we just stopped, and I wept uncontrollably. And my partner didn't know what to do with me. He just patted me on the back, saying, that's all right, you did the best you could. You did the best you could. But he didn't understand. My heart was bleeding for a man who really wanted to, but he didn't know how. He just couldn't get it into his heart and become a Christian. Well, that set a pattern for my lifestyle from that night on. Because I can still see that man's eyes saying, I'd give you $10,000 if I could do what you're saying that I could do. Let me tell you, an effective witness is sharing the message of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the rest to God. An effective witness is sharing the message of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the rest to God. If God is your helper, you need to get on journey in the area of witnessing and sharing as you go. Well, we don't have time to do our group, brother. Maybe we one day we'll do it.
I wonder if you'd bow with me right now, just before we go. I want to read to you a statement that Fred Wilhoit has copied from somewhere. I quoted Jean Dixon the other day, or something about a prediction she made. And I'd like for you just to listen to this prayerfully and see if you think this could be used of God. I don't read Jean Dixon, and I don't know how you feel about her. Forget about that, but listen to what she said. Just listen to it prayerfully. Quote, I sense the beginning of a tremendous worldwide religious movement which will release the pent-up spiritual energies of the common people of the world. This will not be a new religion, but it will be it will breathe new life into churches by emphasizing the personal life of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, and it will lead to another reformation. The people themselves will reform their churches by exerting the moral leadership that some religious officials do not exercise. Lord, I pray right now that you might make us keenly aware of what you would like to do as we are on journey with you. May we be deadly serious about the journey you've called us to walk. Thank you for choosing us. In Jesus' name, amen.